with a big stare like Stone Cold with a few beers. Play the game, I end the game, I'm champion, I'm Triple H. Undertaker, I'm your maker, bury the brother like Kane. Ooh, 1-3, hit the tombstone, hit the choke slam on face. Ooh, yeah, like a macho heel, tell like I'm Tommaso. If you suck with like tomatoes, I'ma keep a couple muddles. Ooh, and you may call me HBK. When I'm tuning up the frame, you best be getting in my way. Ooh, yeah, I'm degenerate, I love it, yes, I love it. If you wait, done with that, then I got two words for you, suck it.
Welcome everyone to your longest running Australian wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. Good to be back, Nick, this week. Next week. Good to be back this week. I had a big weekend this past weekend, of course. It went up to Wide Bay. It's a Maryborough. I didn't think it was in Maryborough. I thought it was in Gympie, and I found out there was a little bit more of a drive. It's a fun Saturday for me. No, I had fun with the boys up there, catching up with Jake Nova, of course, in a good four-way match with Mitch Ryder, Renegade, and Craven. Craven, of course, now is the Wide Bay champion, so congratulations to him. We will be taking that belt very soon. I hope you all had a good week, whatever you did. I know Perth people just having a bit of a lockdown there. Thoughts are with you guys, and hopefully you're coming out of this really soon, so you can get back to your normally scheduled wrestling programs. Geez, what was I going to say this week? I had like this, all this stuff that I wanted to do, and all these people I wanted to talk to this week. But I'll be honest with you, a lot of the stuff just sort of fell through, just because so many people were busy this week, especially leading in. Because I wanted to talk to some guys from PWA, and this week so busy leading into their big show, their first big show on Fight App. Black Label, please get around it if you can. They were busy, and it was sort of like fortune. Sometimes you find some really good things out of some bad situations. So like there was a point during this week where I just wasn't going to do a show because I just couldn't find anyone that I really wanted to talk to. And then a good mate of mine messaged me out of the blue just to keep in contact about certain projects that he's doing. We'll talk about on this very episode, and that is Michael Lee from NHPW. He is doing some really, really good work, not just in NHPW as their ring announcer and also commentator, but he's also doing some really good work with Culture City and NHPW, and also now spreading that around the country to all different, or starting to spread it around to the different country, all around the country to different promotions, to help further what Culture City are doing. I don't really want to explain here because I think it's better that I leave it to him to explain on the interview, and we do talk about it. But if you are a professional wrestler, a promoter, or somehow involved in professional wrestling around the country in these promotions, please do listen to what Michael has to say on this episode and get around him, because it's a really good cause and a really good thing he's doing. And I'm so very proud of him for doing it. So we're going to talk to him right after this, Views from the East, right here on Wrestle Radio Australia. This Views from the East, I thought I would talk about promos, because I've seen some stuff popping up on Twitter and all that sort of things lately about, and I don't know, it's probably guys just niggling each other about things, but it to me, it raised a good point, and it's something that I identified with, because it's got to do with swearing during promos. And I know if you're on an O-rated show, and it's sort of encouraged to be a bit more loose and a bit more free with your language, that sometimes you'll take that advantage, you'll take that liberty and go overboard with it. And I think when I'm seeing some promos, I'm thinking that that's what's happening at the moment. Because I know when I first started in wrestling, I started at Riot City Wrestling, which is a PG show. You don't swear. Well, you don't over, there's no certain words you don't say. So rules out the big ones. So I did that for the first 4 or 5 years. And then when I moved up to Queensland, I started at Grindhouse for AWA, which is an R-rated show, and was told that you can say whatever you want. This is a R-rated show. So the very first promo I cut there, I think I said, fuck, every second word in that promo, and loved every minute of it. But as sort of like the shows went on, and I found myself doing it, I found myself just doing it for the sake of doing it and realizing that it wasn't having any impact, because it's just, after a while, it just becomes white noise. If you know what I mean, it's just, you can say something like, this Sunday, I'm going to face this guy in the ring, and believe me, I'm going to fucking kill him. That's one way to do it. But if you're going, this fucking Sunday, I'm going to fucking meet this guy and I'm going to fucking kill him, it loses its, for me anyway, it loses its clout. It loses its meaning. I find if you can temper and be more economical with your swearing, and sometimes that's even if you want to swear, or even if you feel like you have to swear, if you feel like your character would swear, there are plenty of people out there that can cut convincing, engaging promos without having to do that. And I'm going to leave this Views from the East. So before I leave this Views from the East, I'm not saying that you shouldn't swear. In fact, sometimes it's good, because it really can prove, it really can push the feelings that you have across by doing it. I'm just saying, maybe don't do it every second word, because then it loses its clout, loses its feeling. And I'm going to leave this Views from the East with a promo I saw this week where you'll find, I don't think there's any swearing in it, but it is very impactful and it makes a statement. Right here on Wrestle Writer Australia, we'll be back with Michael Lee from NFPW. Thanks.
I'm not sitting. No way I'm sitting. Hey, Andrew Arthur.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Just to be one of the best at most feared heavyweights in Australia. Undoubtedly your biggest win in your career. What are you thinking right now?
What am I thinking? I'm the best. I'm the most feared. I've been going too long abiding by this wrestling culture that I have to pay my dues. I was best from day one. But I had everyone else make me believe that wasn't the case. Only now I'm really showing who I am. I'm goddamn invincible. Look at what I've just taken. And I ate every one of them and stood back up. Just like I said, I was stronger and I was smarter. Do you know how I know I was going to win that before the match had even begun? Any monkey can use social media. Look at Caveman Ugg's social media. Not one post mentioning this match. Not one. People want to treat me like I don't exist. I'm undeniable. When you see the final boss at Deathmatch Down Under, it'll be on my terms. When I'm ready. So I hope everyone is ready.
I am joined today by not only the ring announcer for NHPW, a guy who's doing some really great work behind the scenes in professional wrestling to really help out the community. Michael Lee, thank you very much for joining us today, mate.
Pleasure to be on the channel and just spread the good words, man.
Yeah, so you guys just missed out on getting your show shut down. So how did that all go?
Skin of our teeth. Like, we didn't plan it that way. We had our last show Reload on the 30th of January, and the next day I'd done packed down. I got back home at like 2 o'clock in the morning. I was like, I'll have a day to myself. And then I see this press conference news that, oh, by the way, there's been a case that someone's, one of the workers has gotten the pandemic. And said, from now on, like, you have to hard mask, QR codes and everything. So by the skin of our teeth, we all got into a couple weeks of lockdown. We're just hopefully going to be at the end of it in the next couple of days. But yeah, it was really weird timing. So just really glad we didn't have to change anything with the show, or we knew beforehand. But
yeah, it was lucky it wasn't like up here when they did it on I think it was like a Friday or a Thursday. They just said from Friday, blah, blah, done. So yeah. You guys at least got the weekend out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how was the first show?
First show 2021 was awesome. We had a bit of a mix about start of last year with our main venue. It's Coburn Youth Center. We've been doing shows there for about 5-6 years. Mm. Start of 2020, we had the Fringe Festival book around us for a little bit. So we had used a couple of different venues at the start of the year, and then the pandemic started. So it, like, until November last year, we hadn't been at our usual haunt for a good year. Mm. And just to start the year off right, even though we're kind of back to where we started in for a little bit anyways, but just to be back and see all the usual people who come around, then it's just, yeah, the best feeling in the world.
Yeah, it's gonna be quite a relief when you see the regulars like in the front row or whatever. You're like, because you kind of worry that they're not going to come back because they've had a year where they've found maybe something else to do on the weekends. So it must be a really good feeling to have that. So you see them. I saw some of them when I went to Venom to watch the show, and I saw some of the regulars around the front, and I was like, oh, good. And I'm glad that they have found something else to do.
Yeah. When I was doing podcasting and everything else, and I'd go to other shows and I'd see some of the regulars from our shows, and I'd know for a fact that like this is their first time going to these shows. Just like, oh, am I gonna see them over here more? Are they gonna change and kind of come back? Or but nah, it's what it is regardless.
It is amazing too, if you go to different shows, that you do see different crowds. Like, you'll see a few people that, like, the hardcores that go to every show. But then you're like, it sort of makes you wonder, well, why don't they go to, they just don't know that those other shows are around. I don't know. It's a weird, it's always baffled me, especially in Adelaide, because Adelaide's not a big town. No. And the crowds between like Rampage and Riot City tend to be very different. And I've always wondered why they don't cross over more, because it's tiny town.
Yeah, like, we're all relatively here in Perth, like, we're all relatively close together. Just that north of the river, we have EPW and pretty much us at this point, like, that's, we're the only other player at the moment. So there's a lot of space, and some people mix and match, but yeah, it's very different fan bases.
So what was on your card? Because I didn't really get a chance to catch the matches on that card. What was on that card?
We had, for the main event, we had Lena Cross facing off against Julian Ward. He'd come back after it's been about a year since he'd been back with NHBW, because he was meant to go to Canada during everything. And he came back. And that's been a running story, like the way he was like king of the castle, and our current champion, Rogan Kargus, he's the one who kicked him out, essentially. And there's been a lot of power struggles with all that. But we had, a lot of that group. It's called the Future Legends. And they've been running rampant around our parts. So really, it was them just throughout the night, just inserting themselves and just, making their presence felt.
I often wondered, because you've had such a gap between shows, was there any way that did you guys have like video highlights or something where you can sort of recap the fans on what was going on before the world shut down?
We did have talks about that. We did have a few little exhibition shows at our wrestling academy, so our members got a few sneak peeks into where the stories were going for end of last year. And I help run a few things online, so I try to my very best to just like let people know like this is exactly why what's happening And everyone kind of caught on pretty quickly. So there was no one just like, wait, what? Last time I was here, like this guy was like, yeah.
Yeah. I'd often find it weird with, well, not weird, but like you have guys go, I'd like to try being a heel now. I was like, well, you might want to make a turn. Like, sure, there'll be a bit of a crowd, but like there'll be some people there that will know. Yeah. And their reactions in the crowd will feed on to other people. So if you're going to do a turn, at least explain why you're doing it. You don't just come out as a heel or as a babyface now and expect them to just go with you because of it.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. So how have you been keeping yourself busy? Because I know, unfortunately, like B+ sort of shut down on the. So you pretty much lost everything like I did. You lost shows, you lost your podcast, you lost everything.
It was an interesting time, not all at once, but just kind of like steadily, just like things just started dropping off. I'm making the most of everything. Like, it's given me an opportunity just to be a bit more focused here at NHBW and just help with my other ventures as well, just like reaching out to more people. But no, honestly, it's given me a chance to I go and see the guys more at training, and I'll dabble in some cardio, see how I feel. Doesn't last very long, but I just go and then I have fun. So
no bump ring announcer?
No bump ring announcer. Not this moment, no.
I went and did Wide Bay Pro last weekend.
And
I took like two bumps during that match, and God was I sore. There was one point after the second bump, I was lying on the outside and I'm like, why do I do this to myself? I mean, I'm getting old. I could be home right now instead of trying to breathe because I didn't bump properly and I landed on my ribs.
I just remember going to trainings and seeing people have their first bumps back after like time away, and just the looks on their faces, and also just do like the group squats. And just like, I'd never heard so many knees crack at the same time. It was an ugly sound.
Yes. That first, bump, because for workers and like yourself, you sort of realize that like when you're training all the time and you're doing the bumps and all of that stuff, your body sort of calluses up. It's not in the traditional sense, but it gets used to that impact, and then just not doing it for a while, and then all of a sudden doing it again. It's like, holy shit, what just happened? I remember I did it because we did like a little rough, because I was trying to show what I meant by what we were going to do. And I just took the bump and I was like going back and why did I do that? I could have just said, I'm going to fall. How did you get into ring announcing? Was it something where you started training and then decided that sort of that part of the business wasn't for you and you wanted to try something else, or was it?
It was a very weird gradual thing. We had the New Japan tour to come to Perth, and Brian Herator, he reached out to me not long after, and I heard of him around Australia for a couple of years, because I used to volunteer at the Supernovas, the Comic Cons. So I knew wrestling was around, but it didn't really click until like a few years ago. Like, oh, it's actually here. I thought they dragged these guys over from Sydney. Like, it's all TNT's boys, and it's like they kind of clicked and like, oh, okay. Then I just said to myself, like, oh, I want to try and help out. Like, I'm not interested in like doing anything like that. And I went to a training day and I got my ass kicked. and then after that, it's just, we need an extra hand. We need an assistant. We need someone to run some messages backstage. And then, my co-host, Jake Malone, at the time he was, he thought that he might not be able to be a part of the announcing anymore. And, so I was going to take over for him at some point. But then he managed to find that work-life balance, and so I got the announcing spot, but at the same time he stayed on as well, so we became a bit of a buddy act.
Okay.
And yeah, so and people seem to like it. It's like, it's not something you see all the time, and we kind of like balance the duties, and we're both the commentators as well, so we kind of we work off each other, so it works out pretty well.
Yeah, so do you do live commentary at the show?
We do, but we don't. We'll record it live and we'll put it up for Vimeo. So yeah,
because I know last weekend at Wide Bay they did live commentary, and it's the first time I've heard it since we were doing it back in Riot City. I think I might have seen it. There were a few times at Venom that they did live commentary, and I was just like, "Wow, it's a really," because I found myself arguing with the commentator.
I've always had that. Yeah, like some other companies do that. I'm not personally not a fan of live commentary. Because I like to just focus more on just the story being told rather than what the announcers are trying to tell me. But like it's all subjective, of course.
Mm. Now, originally, I was a real big proponent of live commentary, for the mere fact that I like, if we're having new people come to the show, I like to try and think that the show resembles what they see on TV as much as possible.
Yeah.
So if they're seeing the match and they're hearing the commentary, the commentators, if they're good, will be filling in on the backstory of these guys. It's a lot easier for the guys to get their stories across because you've got someone basically narrating their story for them.
Yeah.
But that's for that's how I started. I always had the live commentary. I was the live commentary. That's how I started. So I always just thought of it like I would like fans to come in and have it be as much like what they see on TV. And they don't realize, a lot of the time you don't realize on TV, you don't hear the commentary live. Like I know when I was a kid, and I went to the first, we went to a wrestle riot. I think I put a photo up the other day of me at the first show I went to.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize there was no live commentary. So we're sitting at the show going, where's the commentary? But like after a while, you sort of get used to it.
Yeah.
And then now when I go to shows, it sort of puts me off if I hear commentary.
I remember Greg and I, we traveled to PWA for Coliseum. We were just like right behind the commentary team. So we had the best of both worlds, just listening to the guys. But at the same time, you had to pay attention though, if you really wanted to have that experience. But otherwise you just focus dead on what the guys are doing in the ring.
I wanted to do a thing when we were at RC Dub, because they sort of graduated from doing the live commentary to just doing the commentary where they record it for the YouTube. And I wanted to do, because the one thing I did when we went to the first UFC in Australia, that 110, I think it was. And they had these things where you could buy them, little radio transmitters where you could buy them and hear like Joe Rogan and Mike Goldberg's commentary. It was like a dedicated channel. So you just put one earbud in and you could hear the commentary. So it was like you were watching it on TV, but you were there live. And I was like, is there any way that we could do this? And there's no way was it anyway cost effective for us to be able to do it. But I think in the future, if there's a way you can say we're broadcasting on this, say a YouTube channel or a, you know what I mean? Some sort of a live stream, like join the Discord and you can hear the commentary.
Tap into the frequency, like if you want the extra, extra experience. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's something that some promotions could maybe look at. I don't know. Maybe it's just something that I'm requesting that's completely, I'm the only person in the world that wants it. But I like that. I like that.
Yeah, no, I've thought about that as well, honestly. Just like, as long as like it's an option, like you don't want to, like you just don't want to like force it on everybody. That's always been my thing. Yeah,
no, it's I think it would be easy, as I suppose Discord would probably be the best way to do it nowadays, wouldn't it? You just do a live chat, and then they wouldn't have any option of being able to talk back. That's the only thing. You've got to find a way where they can't talk back, so you don't have people screaming like rude words.
Yeah, no, we'll get kids who will go right up to the commentary that and they'll try and yell and try and get our attention, and they'll ask like, oh, are we on the commentary for this show? And it's like no, it's like
not now, you're not. Edit. The power of the edit button.
Yeah.
So how long you've been doing that now? Because you've been around for a few years.
Yeah, my first show was back late 2018, so it's nearly been 3 years now. Like, it's gone pretty quickly, to be honest. So
it kind of does. Yeah. Like, this year is my 10th, I think. And I only do that because it sounds pretty bad, but I can measure it by how long I've been with my wife.
Okay.
I started training not long before I met my wife. So I was sort of like, okay, so where that? So where I'm a bit longer in wrestling, I've been with her. But yeah, that's like, it is, it's really flown by. Like, it, and you'll find it yourself. And as long as you keep, like, obviously, like, by looking about what you're doing, you're finding different ways to be able to contribute. So you're always staying, like, you're not just sort of, well, you seem anyway, like, you're not just like happy just doing the commentary and walking in and out and the ring announcing and leaving it and that's it. You sort of want to like learn different ways. That's how I started. I started by trying to learn as much as I possibly could. Like, back in the day, we had Brendan Vink or Tony Modro or Elliot Sexton or
whatever he's going by.
Whatever his name is nowadays. He used to do all the videography, like the promos and all of that sort of stuff. And then when he left Riot City Wrestling, that sort of just stopped. No one sort of took it up. So I just went and bought an iPad and started doing it and then teaching myself how to edit videos so it could keep going. Because I kept thinking, well, if I keep finding that I can show them that I can do this and then I can do this and I can do this, they're not going to get rid of me. Like, with wrestling, it's a constant fear of, so you're just going to get rid of. Someone's going to come in. Like, I know, like, especially with ring announcing, I was like, if one day someone from Triple M decides that they just wanted to take their hand at ring announcing, I'm done.
Yeah.
because they can just walk in, I'll advertise you on the show. Oh, fine.
Get old Nash, David Nash from
Nashy.
From the old show. Yeah.
I love Nashy. So,
yeah.
That was a name. That was Triple M, was just a thing.
Yeah.
Throughout. My favorite thing is to throw him off. So,
no, it was good to meet him and watch him go live and just see what you guys were all doing around there. So that was a real fun time.
Yeah, because you got to see the last ever. We didn't know it was at the time, but ever AWL show.
Yeah, I snuck out for a day on my honeymoon and watched the.
Brave man, such a brave man.
No, I make it sound more worse than it is, like, because I planned it weeks and months ahead, and I told my wife just like, oh, this is what I want to hope to do, and like, she's very understanding. Wrestling's not her thing. She's went to one show to watch me announce, and it was a charity event, so just to put an extra $20 in for the POC. But no, like, we kind of needed a day. We were there in Queensland for about 2 weeks, and yeah, she just wanted a day to herself and just like, oh, sweet, I'll see what these guys are doing. And yeah, but when Nashy actually said during intermission, just like, oh, there's a guy, we have some honeymooners in the crowd. And like, I was like, oh, then I was like, oh, yeah, honeymooner. Like, but when he said the pool, I was just like, oh, there's more people here. But then he just said, Michael, get your ass up. Like, oh, okay.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, she's left me already. Sorry.
But no, it's still going strong. And yeah, no repercussions. No,
well, that's good. That's good. Just as an outsider, who were some of the guys that you saw on that show that you thought would do well over in, say, Perth?
Oh, I had a lot of names that, like, once I came back from Perth, and then just once the borders closed, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
One of them was Xander before he moved to Sydney. Like, I was like, I would love to, like, even if I have to pay, like, I'd love to bring him over. EC Diamonds was a big one. But one of the big ones for me was Rip Riley, for the main fact that he was one of the last matches for one of our guys named Aaron O'Malley before he moved to the UK.
Yep.
So he kind of got that honor in a weird way after we kind of sent him off. So I kind of like just in my head for like stories, just like bring the guy who actually retired him over and just see what can come of that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So who from your crew can you see making a huge, like when eventually everything opens up again, making a big splash on sort of the national scene over the next, say, year or so?
Well, at the moment, obviously Lena, she's already dabbled with New South Wales, and like she was going to do a Japanese tour before everything. So it won't be long until she's back out there. A lot of our guys have sampled going to other places. We had a guy, he's not working with us at the moment, but his name was King Shaheel, and he used to did a couple of shows for Wrestling Go February last year. But yeah, a lot of our champions, a lot of our guys, they could easily make the journey over. Some of them were meant to go. Like I had a flight booked to TCW. I was going to help do some announcing for them before everything. And I was going to bring a couple friends along with me, but wasn't that night, but hopefully at some point. But no, a lot of our guys, like they work their asses off. Like I'm there most of the week and I see the work that they put in, and they're very centric on focusing on what we're doing here first, and then eventually, like, once they like, oh, we'll see what these other places have to offer. Like I reckon any one of them, to be honest, if I could pick it, yeah, I'd just be pulling a number out of a hat.
So and speaking about working, a lot of people have been working behind the scenes. You've been doing some great stuff, not just in Perth, but around the country, sort of hooking up. How did you, what is, first of all, what is Culture City and how did you get hooked up with them?
So Culture City is a sensory inclusive charity, and what they specialize in is making events, just going out for everyday life, more accessible to people who have invisible disabilities. So that falls under autism, PTSD, ADHD, people who suffered strokes, just any situation where people, like if they go into big events or just everyday life, and like lights too bright, there's a sounds just become too overpowering, there's a horrible smell in the air, there's like something sets them off. which is most wrestling shows. And they just and their goal is to have equipment on hand to help people just take a breather and have time out, that there's people qualified to understand what is happening with them, and not just go up to them and just say, stop, don't be like that, why are you being like this? And yeah, just that there's extra spots for them just to like just take in everything, and slowly, like if they want to come back to enjoy what they were trying to, they can. How I got in touch with them was after All Elite Wrestling made their announcement at the start of 2019, I think it was, me and Greg and I were spitballing on one of the podcasts, and we were kind of saying like, how has a WWE never done this before? How's a WWE never reached out? And then I started thinking like smaller, like how has a indie federation never tried this? Because like the stigma that comes with independent wrestling is that the bingo halls, like at the youth centers, your rec centers, and they're all designed to make shows more accessible to everybody. And like, so it's the perfect location, and you just need equipment and training, and like, because you go to a wrestling show and like there's everyone of different race, color, creed, religion, orientation, and invariably there are some people on the spectrum that come to shows.
Yeah.
And like, it's just a matter of like, well, if we were to do some of that here, what would that look like?
Yeah. And inherently wrestling's like halfway designed to be a sensory overload.
Absolutely.
So
like it wants to immerse you in not only like with the room that it's in, but just the stories and what's going on in the ring. Like just everything is designed to try and get your attention, and that can be very triggering to some people.
So this was something that you've just decided that you wanted to try. Did you have much trouble sort of convincing? Because it would have been NHP Dub that would have been the first people that you would have approached because that's your home. Did they immediately take it on, or did it take some sort of like convincing, like this is what we should be doing, guys? Or
it took a bit of convincing because I kind of said before I even heard that news, I kind of said like I want to try and look at some other community events for us to get involved in. And we made a big announcement in October of 2019. So it took about 9-10 months. And a lot of that also was seeing if there were other if there are other people in Australia that were trying similar initiatives. But honestly, the work that they're doing in America with sensory inclusion, the couple behind it, Julian Maha and his wife, Dr. Michelle Kong, I think it is. They're leading the charge and they're bringing people in from all other countries. But as for the guys, like it obviously because they had no point of reference, because even AEW, like it's part of their shows, and obviously it would have been a part of their weekly go to different towns, but I couldn't really point to AEW and say this is what I have in mind because they weren't doing any live shows at the time. But but eventually everyone kind of came around and they understood where I was coming from, and we got the guys trained up and got all our equipment. And yeah, it was really special that everyone kind of came together for it. And I'm really glad that we were actually able to say that we're the first wrestling promotion in Australia to get amongst it.
Yeah. And how, like, cause I would have thought it would have been, well, not weird, but sort of strange as some guy messaging like Culture City from Australia going, I'd like to help out. How can I how did that sort of go? Was it like, I'm the ring announcer here and we really like to, how could we go about doing this? Or I'd like to be your Australian representative, or how did that sort of hang about, like work about?
They're very accepting of just like other ventures trying to get involved, because like mainly they work with like big sporting organizations like the NBA and a few other like the football teams over there. But they announced like there's like haunted houses that have partnered over there. There's the hospitals. Like I'm not joking.
No, like, I'm just shocked.
Just like all these other point of references. And the people who first partnered up in Australia are the Geelong Football Club. So they kind of knew some people in Australia.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a weird, like it wasn't out of their, like just who the hell is this guy? So because they had Geelong and they had AEW as kind of point of reference, they knew what I was kind of going for.
Yep.
And yeah, no, they didn't bat an eye. They're just like, you want to get involved? Like, we'll be happy to have you.
That's amazing. That's so good. Like, I'm so happy when you messaged me about it. I was like, that is a brilliant idea. And like, I'm like, it sounds weird to say, I was so proud of you for like doing it and getting it out, getting it going. How much success have you had trying to reach it over to the eastern states?
It's taken a little bit. So we've been at it. So for,
well, I suppose it would be hard too, because no one's had shows. So it's not sort of like
that's impacted a lot. For us, like we had a good 5-6 months of our audiences being accustomed to it and just loving it, and just we've managed to get a few more fans like through it as well. But as for I talked to the guys on the Turnbuckle not long after we made the announcement, and I said like my goal was to have at least one or two wrestling promotions in each state to get amongst it, and just to say that the whole country is like the whole wrestling scene in a sense was certified inclusive. And then like if I got that, then I could say, well, other countries like what you guys could do this too. But as for interstate, I'm happy to say that the folks at Deathmatch Down Under, they are the second promotion to get partnered up with Culture City. So I think they actually have the weird distinction of being the first adults only sensory inclusive event. Yeah. So like to say that there's a deathmatch wrestling company that's also looking after people with sensory needs is just it's an awesome thing to say. And I love telling people it just to watch the immediate reaction.
Well, I mean, if there's anything else that bashes the senses like a deathmatch, I don't know what is really.
Like I was so thrilled to have Aaron and Joel and Jay reach out, and like they've got a brilliant collection of people together, and like they wanted to make the, like, as much as they could easily have put like deathmatch at the forefront of what they do, like they are really pushing a lot of the inclusion initiatives that they're doing. So like they've got helplines while they're at events. They've got hot doctors on staff, obviously not just for the wrestlers but also for the fans. And yeah, that was just like another piece of the puzzle that they were looking to do. And like their first show, Outcome the Wolves, they were meant to get their care package to start up, but it's probably still in the mail that I think about it. So I actually forwarded some of our resources here at NHBW, like, so they could have some on hand for their first show. And yeah,
so how much training does it involve for the people that need to get involved in it to be able to service that thing?
Not as much as you think. Like it's all online. Like obviously, like if we were in America, they'd probably come to us and they'd sit us down for like a couple hours at a time. But it was more like that the staff on hand knew what the goal was, and once you kind of accepting of the idea that you want to like be more inclusive to people, like the rest of the what they throw out at you is not that not that far-fetched, or like it's easy to grasp pretty quickly. So once you have like your half an hour of training and like getting familiar with the equipment, like the sensory bags that we hand out to people, yeah, it really fits in naturally with wrestling. Is like, it not like a lot of the fans were just thinking like, well, how does this change the event? But it just doesn't really change that much. It just means that, yeah, makes things more accessible to people that who otherwise wouldn't be able to come.
That's right. If it doesn't affect other people and it enhances some other people's enjoyment of the show, then I'm 100% for it. I'm all about having as many people as possible being able to enjoy what we do, because that's our aim every time we walk through the curtain, yeah. I guess.
Like you don't want to exclude anyone as a wrestling show. If you do, you're not going to be in business very long. That's, yeah.
No. And yeah, that's very true. For people that want to, and I urge promotions around the country, do join in with what NHPW, what Deathmatch Down Under are doing now. Get involved with this, because it doesn't take much, and it really does. It just adds another thing that you can say we want to help the community as much as we want to entertain the fans. So how can they do it? If they want to get in contact, would you be the person that they get in contact with to try and get the ball rolling with it? Or
they can easily get in contact with me, like shoot me a message on Facebook, Instagram, wherever. Otherwise you can reach out to Culture City directly. They have their social media team who will pass all the information along and kickstart the process just as well as I can. Yeah. But even if you want to get in touch with the folks at Deathmatch Down Under, they will gladly pass on the information. Like, we're all trying to spread the word and try and make like the wrestling scene better, like trying to make things better for our fans, like collectively in our own states. And yeah.
If they want to message me, I'll pass it on to you quite happily.
Yeah,
as well.
Absolutely.
Just to give them another avenue to be able to contact people, because like I said to you, I'm very much behind this. So yeah, I'm very, very happy that you've done it. It's I know a lot of times that we see stuff on TV and we go, oh, that'd be really good, and then we never follow through on it. I guess life just happens and you don't think about it or that sort of stuff. But this is it. To see that you've done this, mate, is just amazing, and massive kudos to you for it.
No, I really appreciate that. And just, yeah, hopefully like I do want to see, like, I do want to, like, next time I talk to you, like, I do want to say that like another company's joined the fold. And obviously, like, I'm not just limiting myself to wrestling companies in Australia. Like, obviously if anyone wants to partner up for their businesses, like they'll happily,
even in New Zealand, yeah. SPW, yeah, over there, and that they'd probably do really well to have that as well in their thing.
Yeah, without a doubt. Like with our boss Mana here in HBW, like he's got a lot of family in New Zealand. Like he would absolutely love that if some New Zealand guys reached out to us.
And how have like they sort of like seen the results and have they really sort of like realized after you sort of pushed it, not pushed it, but championed the idea, and they've instituted, have they really seen the results now and just gone, yeah, this is really helping us?
They have. And especially with Mana, like just to see the reception from fans, and just he's been running NHBW back and forth between hospitals. Like he's had a horrible horrible couple of years, but he like the few times that I've had a chat and visited, just like he said, like that was a really amazing idea. And like just to see the like reception from fans, like we've heard nothing but positive feedback from everybody, and just like we're all just trying to make everything better. Like that's the goal that we want to like, not just in HPW, like but especially after the year that everyone's had, we just want to try and make like wrestling better.
Yeah, so. Anyone that wants to complain about a day, you don't want them at the shows. Simple as that. you want to complain about someone else's, like, it's not bothering you, but just because you have to see it, yeah. I mean, go and watch something else.
Yeah, there's other wrestling if you really feel inclined.
Go watch something else. Seriously. Anyway, yeah. Michael, thank you so much for coming on, mate. If people do want to get in contact with you, how can they do that? Because they are following you on your socials and all that sort of stuff, mate.
Yeah, you can follow me at Mr. Mysterious on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, just Michael Lee on Facebook is probably the best one. You can reach out to Deathmatch Down Under on Facebook, Instagram at DMDU. NHPW, it's NHPW Perth on Facebook, at Perth Pro Wrestling on Instagram. And Culture City is just Culture City on Facebook and Culture C on Twitter. Or Instagram, like any one of them will have happily pass things along. And
yeah, I'll put a little thing up on the bottom, so because it's Culture with a K, just so you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I should jump with that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. once again, mate, thank you on behalf of everyone in the wrestling community. Thank you for doing this and thank you for pushing it along. And I'm going to get you on again because we'll talk about just normal wrestling, like wrestling, like international wrestling. Cause I don't get to talk about international wrestling that much. And I don't get to be grumpy guy. So you can be the straight man and I'll just be a less racist cornet.
I like the sound of that. It should be fun.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me, mate.
All right. Catch you later.
Once again, big thanks to my guest, Michael Lee. Thank you so much for coming on, mate. Please do follow him. I encourage promotions around the country. Get involved with this Culture City deal because it is not just good for you as a company. It's good for the wrestling crowd, the wrestling public as a whole. It's great to do something that's not just for you. It's for everybody, and it really will make wrestling more inclusive, will make wrestling feel safer for people that maybe wouldn't come to a show because they would be afraid of a sensory overload or maybe having an episode, but oh geez, that's professional, an episode or something of that, mate, because I know maybe a lot of people would be have reservations of going to a show because they're afraid of something happening or them maybe having some sort of a feeling but knowing that they have something there from Culture City that can help deal with this sort of thing and help mitigate these issues that might come up, it's amazing. And I'm so very proud of Michael for getting this up and running, and I really do want this to succeed in Australian wrestling. I think this is something that would be great for everybody, and I mean everybody in Australian wrestling. Anyway, if you haven't already, guys, make sure you subscribe to WRA. You can do it on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you get podcasts from. If you do stop by Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating and review. If you go to Spotify, follow us, and you'll get all the episodes as soon as they land. Also with YouTube, subscribe on YouTube, and you'll get the episodes as soon as they get put up on there. If you go to Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star, spread the word, gets us out. You hear it every week. Make sure you like us on Facebook at Wrestle Radio Australia and on Twitter at Wrestle Radio AU, or me personally at Beast Eastman. We're also on Instagram at Wrestle Radio AU as well. Please do support the local industry in any way you can in these times. I know that it's probably a little hard in these times, but if there's some way you can promote it, if you can promote this, the industry, or support the industry in any way, please do. Streaming services, your Australian Wrestling Network is out there. I know they've got PCW on there now too, so go and search them out. Also, the Fight app, you've got Black Label, which I'm not too sure when this show goes up, but if it goes up on Friday, it'll be Friday night. The new PWA show will be. I'm doing a great job right now, but please do purchase it. Even if it's gone past, purchase it and watch it, because it looks like it's going to be a great show. I am personally looking forward to Kingsley and Jack Bonza, because the story they've told coming up to this through the premiership has been brilliant. And just looking at this week on Facebook, in fact, I might even try and see if I can end the show with the build up to it, because I loved it. One of the best pieces of work coming out of PWA, I think, was that just the booking and the storytelling going into Kingsley and Bonza for the leadership of the Red Nation. And that will be this Friday night. So if it gets up on Saturday, then it'll just go on. Buy it on Fight anyway, because you can watch it. And do enjoy it. Do please support PWA with their endeavor in the Fight Network. If you want to support wrestlers themselves, go to Wrestler Merch. A lot of wrestlers have their merch up there, so you can support them and help them out and buy a t-shirt and represent them out and about around the country. If you want to support us, there's no real way you can, because I have stuff up on Redbubble, just redbubble.com, WrestleRate Australia, look it up. I do have some shirts and that sort of stuff, but anything that I sell through there, I donate to charities, with Gutch for Life and Beyond Blue, which do a lot of work in a charity that I'm passionate about, and that is men's health and prevention of suicide, which unfortunately claimed my co-host and podfather Josh Armour. And it's something I really want to, I don't want anyone else to have to go through the stuff that the friends and family of Josh have had to go through, because of stuff that probably could have been avoided if there was better ways of dealing, or if he thought there was better ways that he could deal with it. So please do go and support all of that. Even if you just want to go and support Gotcha for Life and that, I'd love that, because to me, they do some really great work in just trying to help people realize that it's okay to talk, and it's okay to not be okay, and it's okay to share your feelings and get around your mates and support each other, because that's what we should do, not just in wrestling, but in life. We should just get around each other and support each other. That is it for this week at Wrestle Radio Australia. Until next week, I'm Todd Eastman. My opinion, you're entitled to it. See you next week.
What you say? I'm here to prove to my Uncle Jack that I belong to the Red Nation.
So she has to start with a huge mountain to climb in Mick Moretti.
I know I already said this, that I'm going to beat everyone else in this tournament, and I stick to that word.
The sorrow continues for Kingsley, Chris. She vowed to win every match in her tournament. 0 points so far.
Whether it's for Generation Now or for the Red Nation, who knows anymore? I just want one. Just one win.
Kingsley has gone through some turmoils, and she is still determined to get some points in Block A.
You haven't won a single match. Be a team player, leave, and Jen Now's in the final. Isn't this what we're all about?
Are you serious? Are you serious? That's the whole problem with a lot of them. They don't work for anything. You haven't won a single match, get in there and win one. Don't at least make you earn it. What?
We are 1 minute left in this match. He needs a ref. 9 seconds left. We're last 10 seconds. Here comes the count. One, two. Oh, and a kick out. the biggest kick out of the premiership right there as the time runs out.
I am so proud of you. You fought, you did it all right, and now Moretti has a chance to go through clean.
Thinking about getting my hands on Monza?
He's my uncle, it's family. I don't really want you to hurt him that much.
You know, eventually you're going to have to pick a side, yeah?
This is an early time to gloat. He has got to get through a monster in Jack J. Bonza to get to this final. By Wahlberg, the posterizer! Wahlberg saying, I'm going to kill him. He's in the top rope. Now, Kingsley.
Seems like Kingsley got involved there, saying anything but that. He's trying to protect Uncle Jack, I think. And because of that, it has cost Wahlberg his premiership.
When the whole tournament wearing a generation now, and then you didn't win a single match, you are not good enough to be in the nation. Without my help, you can't beat anyone.
Well, I can beat you.
If you can beat me, not only will I put you in the Red Nation, I'll make you the leader. Don't you come back no more.
Too sweet, pour another cup. Let's be prison.